Okay, I was just thinking, what I like about putting Ion on the radio is we're at this point where nobody knows anything. They're looking for a reason, and it'll need to be explained why things happen. They had a year of explanations by me, and that's that. Now they're wondering what to do. I see Ion sort of offering interesting new solutions to things, or...
Well, and that's the hope. That's the hope.
Yeah.
And the driving force of these solutions would to activate the human creator.
Yeah, I'd like to be part of that in an information show.
Very wonderful, and that's solving. And you can open it up and let people call in and ask their questions.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. One thing I was thinking of featuring is that at least once a day, or once a show, have Ion explain bladder infections. So they could, you know, different ailments that you've been doing with Carolyn.
Uh-huh.
That would show Ion's medical, biological knowledge, or whatever Ion said.
Sure. So sure.
That'd be neat.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it would...
Now, you'll need to develop this a little bit, meaning the qualify, because we won't. We will not qualify this. You'll have to qualify it. When you're describing, when you want to introduce callers and have big folks participate, that of course they're free and welcome to participate at whatever level they'd like to, but in order for it to be significant and for them to be allowed to continue on the show, they need to be focused on their question. They want to be genuinely seeking, without arbitration, a solution. And if they're able to do that, then wonderful. But if they're just trying to get the
a rise out of you,
or the which pony's going to make it at the racetrack,
yeah,
then, you know, good luck with that.
Right, and they can ask it, and I'll let Ion determine the answer to that.
No problem, but they have to understand that they'll be much more happy with the answer if they're genuine with their question and it is a desire that they know the answer to and have a degree of embracing openness regarding their questions.
Yeah. Okay. So we did that and we did the Russian thing. Now my next topic, the papers that John Quincy Adams was the keeper of. Secret records. Are they what Ion said are in the Smith, buried in the Smithsonian Institution?
No, they've been moved.
From the Smithsonian?
Yes.
Right, because after Quincy Adams had them, who did they pass on to?
They were put in the crypt at the Capitol.
That's some part of the Capitol. I don't know what... is that known, the crypt?
Well, we don't know what they know, but they're... Here, Bob, this is fun. Do you not realize that there are basements and sub-basements of the United States Capitol building?
Okay, so when you said Capitol, you meant a particular building.
In Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
The capital of the United States of America.
Yeah, but there's something called the Capitol building. I don't know what's in that building. Is it the Senate, or I don't know what's in
it. The House and the Senate is in the Capitol.
So someone who was part of the inner network stuck the papers somewhere.
They didn't stick it. They put them. There are people buried in the Capitol. There are dead people buried there.
Yeah, the crypt is something down in the basement, I guess.
Yeah.
So these are people who were murdered, so to speak, or, you know, not known to be buried there, or some people like to be buried there.
Well, they had to be pretty fat cats to be buried there, but yeah.
It was a prestige thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there are lots of things go on in the basements of the Capitol building. Okay. What
that goes all the way to the Library of Congress.
What goes all the way?
The sub-basements.
Oh, they're connected.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All that is.
Is that secret or public knowledge you can see in the designs of the building at wherever you go to see them?
No.
That's secret. Okay.
Well, but there's evidence all over the place. Would you like some empirical evidence with that? Do you like that kind of thing?
Yeah.
You go to the rotunda. Do you know what the rotunda is?
No.
Do you know where the Capitol, the big white building that you see on
with the dome?
End?
Yeah, the dome.
And it has a great big dome.
Yeah.
And it's at the other end of the Washington Monument, and they have this thing called the Mall.
Yeah.
And then they have a great big white building where legislation is passed.
That's not in the Capitol building.
It is the Capitol building, Bob.
Yeah, well, you were describing it was odd, but I let it ride, but then we did get to the glitch that was caused a minute ago. Anyways,
the big dome, the big circle.
Yeah, let's just stay, the mall and the obelisk. Okay, the Capitol building, what about it?
In the middle of this, of the rotunda.
Which is part of the Capitol building.
Well, it's the center of it.
Okay.
You've seen pictures.
Yep.
And it's got a great big dome in the top of it, the big oval thing.
Yes.
Big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. In the middle of that dome, there's a point in the center, the tallest tip-top part.
Yeah.
And that comes, if you took a string and you tied to the top of that dome.
And you plumbed it.
Yes, very good. Mm-hmm. What you would find is it would go all the way to the floor. Okay?
The first street level floor or the basement floor?
No, the main floor.
Okay, yeah.
And there's a mosaic in the tile work of the United States Capitol. It's where Kennedy laid in state. It's where a sitting president would be lay in state.
Mm.
It's where Reagan laid in state. You see, that's the rotunda, the big, tall, huge building.
Got
the middle part.
Right.
Okay. In that floor, there's a circle, which would be a straight line from the top of the rotunda, okay?
In that floor, there's a circle. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And that circle is then what sets the middle part of that room, and there is a mosaic, a design in the floor.
Right.
Okay? It's like tile,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you look in the very center of that circle, you can look at the floor, and you see there are pieces of iron
mm-hmm.
that have been sawed off.
Okay.
And the reason that it's been sawed off is it used to have a circular railing into the floor.
Right.
Because when the United States Capitol was built, that circle, the middle part of that rotunda, there was a hole. That middle circle was added later.
Right.
And you could be standing in the rotunda at this little iron railing where they sawed the iron off. It's still right there today. If you can get into the Capitol to see it, it's still there. And you could look then from that level through the hole in the floor, and that's where you would look down into the crypt of the Capitol.
Yeah, okay, you could used to be able to do that 100 years ago.
That's correct. And now, and then in the rotunda, and also stored in the sub-basement, there is a sculpture, a huge life, a little bigger than life sculpture of George Washington. And he didn't have clothes on, he had robes.
Yeah.
And it portrays George Washington, the first president of the United States of America, as a god.
Okay.
Wait a minute. That's big.
That's cult worship.
Well, no. They were all deist, Bob. The thing you didn't ask about our conversation last night is that they were not Christian. Everybody thinks the United States was a Christian nation.
Right.
It was not. It was monotheist.
Right.
Deist, I guess, is the better way to describe it. Most all of them were deist, not theist.
But what does a deist believe?
That there is this supreme being, but you can't talk to him, and he doesn't talk to you, and you can't pray to him, and you can't take your troubles to him and
right.
solve them. You're on your own. You got to figure it out for yourself. It basically brings you back to God's status.
Yeah, you're going to have to do the God.
Yes, but now we're not deists because that's limiting. They didn't accept themselves as God, but yet they portrayed themselves as God.
Right.
You know, in the Masons, which most of all of them were Freemasons, okay?
Yeah.
And in the compass and the square,
yeah,
which is the main symbol, it has a very large G,
yeah,
in the middle of that symbol. Well, if you ask a Mason, bound or free, they would say that G stands for geometry.
Mm.
But if you ask certain ones, you'd ask them, and they'd say that G stands for God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Very good. So,
very good.
And that's not too well known, the G stands for God.
Correct. They would most typically list it as geometry.
Okay, so what's the point of George Washington being there in the sculpture? That's we finished that point? He's a deist.
No.
Okay.
He's a deist and he's a god.
Right.
Now there's some symbolism that goes along with that. Okay, let's go over to the Library of Congress.
Right.
Now, this is way fun because this is gonna get you some of your best riffing in real life.
You mean me rifting or about rifting that was done?
Yes, yes.
Yes, latter.
Want to have some fun? Here,
yeah,
we go. Library of Congress, you can look up the empirical reference of when the Library of Congress was constructed.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty old piece of architecture, do we agree?
Yeah.
Been around a while.
Yes.
Okay, now it's had a little modernization here and there, like the little things that move the books on these conveyor belts and stuff and blah, blah, blah. Okay. But there's a grand staircase in the main hall of the reading room,
yeah,
of the Library of Congress.
Right.
And there is a balustrade. Do you know what a balustrade is, Bob?
That's the railing.
Very good. Well, actually, it's what holds the railing up is the balustrade.
Oh, the middle pipe, the middle axis?
Yes,
yeah,
very good. From the stair up to the railing, that would be known as the balustrade.
Right.
Well, if you go there, and you can probably just see pictures of it, it's not a problem, but if you go there, and it's a free, open building, the Library of Congress, you know, you don't have to be a sitting president to go to the Library of Congress, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it's open. Carolyn's books are there.
Yeah.
See, but she should be able to go see her book if she wants to.
Right.
Well, you go and you look at this grand marble balustrade staircase that is pretty magnanimously impressive, to say the least.
Right.
If you were to look very closely, the balustrades have carved in marble, very expensive Carrara marble, as a matter of fact, these little putties. They're like little angelic-looking beings. The little babies, they call them putties.
Yeah.
Well, if you look very closely at what those angels, putties, that's the correct version of what you call them. If you look at what they're doing in the balustrade of this staircase going up, it's very, very interesting. You'll find a little putti speaking on a telephone.
Ah.
Okay. You go down the balustrade a little bit, and you see a putti working on a computer.
And these were put in a year, 100 years or more ago.
Oh, at least.
Right.
At least.
You have to look real closely to see them.
Well, no, you just got to look.
Okay.
See, it's actually hidden in plain sight.
Nobody has noticed this.
Apparently not.
Not many people have noticed the telephone and the computer.
J.W. was there, and he never noticed, and he fell in love with the whole, all of it. Because the reading room that he thought was probably the grandest building in all of Washington because you could not make a shadow in the room. It has the 8 large windows. It's impossible.
How come?
To make a shadow. Because light comes in from every way.
Oh, okay.
And it's a reading room, so you wouldn't want to be in a shadow place because you wouldn't have light.
Right, so they designed it knowing...
This building was built long before there was electricity.
Right, and they knew what they were doing.
Well, the Masons built it, so they certainly did. Okay, now there's another little part in a dynamic. They were great followers of...
Oh, is that all there is? Computer, telephone, no other modern gadget? Those are the
Oh,
two.
No, there's lots of different things. There is a... there's one where they have... It's like a scroll, but it's actually a scroll on a typewriter.
Okay.
This was long before.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But no such a critter. I mean, they didn't have ink pens, so they certainly didn't have typewriters.
So one has a typewriter.
Well, the scroll coming off the typewriter. But you can look at that. Might be able to just go on your web and look at pictures and see those different things.
Okay.
All right. Now, then you kind of play with this a bit, and you go and you realize that this gets very interesting, because how would they know this technology enough to carve it in a balustrade of a building that lined up? See, the Masons, when they did the foundation, the cornerstone, they always lined up the building project with significant dates and deeply rooted it into astrology. Which has a lot to do with mythology, but astrology. They had the stars had to line up right, and it had to sync up with a significant date.
Right, and you know the balustrade was something from the future, wasn't it?
It was.
And
the information was.
Was it made just portaled in?
No.
Complete? No. Okay.
No. Because, see, now these Freemasons that everybody's having trouble with, these Freemasons had the symbols. Now, they talk about one symbol, but we said symbols plural.
Yeah.
Now, these symbols are pretty significant because they line up with what we're talking about with the code.
The combination. Yeah.
The combination, the key.
They had their sets of symbols.
They did, and if you look it through their history, you'll see lots of your symbols in their symbols, or maybe it's their symbols in your symbols, or maybe it gets really interesting after a second.
Okay, that's a question from the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
These symbols that we have are our symbols. Other people have other symbols. Is there original given symbols, or there's whole sets of them that were made by human creators as they made up things to activate their portaling because they weren't a balloon boy?
Yes.
So
now let's just be easy. One of the major ones that they embrace as far as the set points is this Star of David and the pyramid and the capstone and everything relegating out to 33-ism.
Right.
Right.
Now, what is the 33? Emanating out 33, is that something you told Carolyn? I don't know what that is.
33rd degree.
Oh, the 33rd degree on a geometry or whatever you call it.
No, Masons, Freemasons.
Yeah, 33rd degree of a square, rectangle.
No, Bob.
Oh, okay, you mean the development, the initiation. Oh, okay, everything emanating out to 33. What was the noun subject of that sentence then? So they had everything emanating up to the 33rd degree.
Yeah. Everything is 33. Okay. Go to. Let's, if you want to, we'll go back in a minute, but let's just clean this up. Okay. You have the Freemason Temple in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It has 33 columns.
I see.
They are 33 feet tall.
Right.
The whole perimeter is blocked off in 33 degree angles.
Now,
all of Washington, D.C.
is blocked off at 33-degree angles.
Every angle of a street in Washington, D.C. is at a 33-degree angle.
From
everyone.
From what?
Itself.
Okay.
If you turn, you're going to turn at a 33-degree angle.
Okay. We could say, well, why were they so obsessed, OCD and 33? Well, there are different... let me say this, that because they knew the importance of 33-degree latitude and things like that?
No.
So, yeah, where did the 33 come from? Why?
It came from the degree. It was the degree of ascension into their God status.
Right, they invented that level of schooling, classes, grades.
Well, no. Here's the way it works. The deists that were Freemasons that began this country, not as a Christian nation, but as an independent, where you could be whatever you wanted to be.
Yeah.
They didn't just read the Bible. They read ancient Egyptian. They went way, way, way back.
Right, they read everything. Did they know about the Emerald Tablets?
They most absolutely did, and the references even through the Emerald Tablets of the 33.
Okay.
And here's how they came back to the place. They took the human meat sack body, and they gave it an amount of 33.
They gave it an amount of 33?
Yep, and then they had a non-physical, the deist, acknowledging there was a higher power.
Yeah.
They gave it a number of 33.
Okay.
Then they had this thing hooked on the top of their head, just above the thalamus.
Yeah.
And then they noticed that they gave it a number of 33.
So three 33s, three uses of the number 33.
That is correct. And they gave it, and then they left that, the 33rd degree is as high as you can go. And it always left that 1% because the best you're going to get is 99.
They always left what at 1%?
If you take 33,
oh yeah, 99.
Add 3, you get 99, which leaves 1.
You never get it done.
Or well, but the 1 would be a unifier of the masonry. Okay, in your spinal cord, guess how many pieces you have?
33?
You do.
Ah.
In the top of the Washington Monument, the capstone of the Washington Monument. There's one capstone on the Washington Monument. You know, that's the great big sphere, the obelisk.
Yeah.
The great big obelisk in the middle of Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
The capstone, guess how much it weighs?
33 tons?
3,300 pounds.
Right, and that's something on top of there's a point on the obelisk at the top, right?
That's the capstone, yeah.
Oh, the point is. Okay, all right, got it.
That's the capstone. Like a pyramid, remember?
Yeah, right.
Okay, now you have a pyramid on a dollar bill, and the capstone is missing.
Right.
And it's replaced with the all-seeing eye.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that's one of Carolyn's symbols at 12 o'clock on the inside set.
Right.
You start ringing. See, it's almost like we've sent a ringer in. It's starting to come together here, and it keeps replicating itself.
Yeah, wait, where on the chart I'm looking at is this eye? What o'clock?
12.
12 at the top. It's just a round circle. Round circle, right?
No, it's an eye, Bob.
Or y'all, it can be an eye.
You're the one that said it was an eyeball. We didn't.
I don't know if I did, but the point is that it's like
a pupil.
Like
an eye.
Yeah, okay.
Well, a pupil is an eye.
Gotcha, so I got it. I got it.
Good. All right, so now this is what we were trying to do last night, but we couldn't get this far because we had to get the groundwork laid.
Yeah.
So, but...
Well, when you say we had to get the groundwork laid, you were trying to get there. No, we weren't trying to do it last night. We were trying to get the groundwork laid.
Well, that's what we just said.
Well, it implies that we could have got there if somebody wasn't silly last night.
No, we were trying to say, when we discussed it earlier, it's like... Where there's a lot of information, and let's get all we can get. And then if you have questions, we'll answer them. But don't send us way, way far out, because it's just going to put you further away from getting the information that you're busting a nut to get.
And we didn't get there. We failed.
We failed
in that mission last night. We didn't get there.
And we are now.
Right.
And we are now, because See, if we hadn't got all that done last night, the stuff we're telling you now wouldn't have mattered at all. You'd say, whoopee, non-physical has actually calculated that they have stairs in the Library of Congress. Boy, we can rest good tonight.
You're saying I wouldn't have appreciated last night?
Exactly, because it wouldn't have made any sense.
So what is the background I got that this makes sense?
That a third of the Masons, the Freemasons, a third of the signers of the Constitution were Freemasons.
Yeah.
Okay. And you asked a question about sitting presidents being Masons.
Yeah.
The last 33rd degree president, sitting president, was Gerald Ford.
Right. Okay. Was he a Riff Rider? Was he aware of parallel worlds and believed in them and experienced them?
Well, now, just soft a minute. We'll answer your question. When we pause like that, we have to sift through to see what you're going to do with it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because the answer doesn't mean you have to just blur it out.
Yeah.
You have to raise your hand.
Right.
And we want to just answer the question, but before we answer the question, we're going to ask you a question.
And I'll say before you ask the question, I'll say this. The reason I asked the question is that in my mind, he's a doofus, the way he looked and all that. So that's a public image dumped on me. So
that was created.
Okay, good. Now the question you want to ask me is?
He became president, sitting president of the United States, and he wasn't elected.
Right. That's true.
Well, no, wait. Every president has to be elected. Well, not so much.
Well, what was he? Oh. He replaced Spiro Agnew. He was vice president. And then Nixon got Watergated, so the vice president becomes president.
There you go. There you go. So you don't have to be elected. And this is that power issue that the 33rd degree achieves. A third of the people who signed the Constitution were Freemasons.
And a third were, another third were.
No, that's not significant. There were 24, but actually 22 that signed, and that they were all of those, the ring leaders.
Were seven.
And
were a third of the 22 or 24 were Freemasons.
No, Bob, they were 60 that signed the Constitution, a third. Were Freemasons.
That's the 22 or so.
Well, it was 24, but those two didn't get a chance to sign. So it was only 22 that signed. So
22 Freemasons signed the Declaration.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Now, we're just getting started. So
right.
This gets to be way voluminous, and that's why we knew, and that's why we had to give it a day or so to let you start playing with it. So you could get to it, and we thought we'll just do a real long session, and you'll get it.
Right.
But we had to go further, and it actually got a little deeper. Okay, now we're getting some fun.
Yeah, you liked the way it went last night.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly, because it was actually point on.
Yeah. I had a lengthy question that I had before.
Good, that's what we want to answer.
Yeah, who's in charge of the, did the Freemason guys who knew that, the John Quincy Adams compilations, they were passed on among Freemasons or inside people up to today, right? They wouldn't be lost, these things.
Never.
They're kept specially. And I think did you say they were buried in the crypt for a while? That's how we got
it? They are now.
Right. And would the Freemasons have done that?
They're who laid the foundation.
Right, so John Quincy Adams' materials are still in the possession of the Freemasons.
They are.
The enlightened Freemasons, you know, the special Freemasons, because there's a lot of Freemasonry groups around the United States, and they're just service committees, aren't they?
They jokingly call it, they say if you're interested in the Freemasons, then get ready for lots of donut bake sales and donut rallies and... And they're a fraternal organization. They have the Crippled Children's Hospital. They raise tons of money to help, like, when children... children need help.
No, I got all that. So that is, those guys who do that, are they Rift Riders and Initiated 33 Degrees? Do they know all this stuff?
Different lodges are different, Bob.
Okay. Depending on the leaders and the connection.
And their interest.
Right.
What they give their undivided attention regarding.
Right. Okay.
Now we're getting down to it. Now, the Masons aren't the story here. The symbols are the story.
Okay.
The Masons just the easiest way for it to show up. It's the largest secretarian manifested reality of what you can have once you get access and know what they are to these symbols.
Right, now that's the next question. And you meant secretarian, you meant sectarian, largest sectarian is what the word
is.
One is always making one different groups can make symbols that become their catalyst. It means any symbol can be. I don't know what the special ones are and what made them special.
They, depending on how you describe them and as you imbue them with power. What made the Ark of the Covenant special?
It was imbued with power.
Same thing. And it was a symbol to all of Judea of that they had the power of God.
Right. So there are symbols done millennia ago. The first ones imbued by the
now,
first...
Now, wait now. Yes, and guess what? Those symbols haven't changed, and some of those are the same ones that your Freemasonry holds dear
right
to this moment.
How many of those dear ones are on our chart at this point?
Seven.
Right, and we've got some others that they don't have that are dear.
They have some you don't have.
They're all equal in charisma or imbuement.
No. And then we can prove that because let's say you called your buddy Steve.
Yeah.
And you said, okay, we figured it all out now, and here are the symbols, and if you dumb son of a bitch, if you'll look at these symbols, it'll get wavy like when you used to smoke dope when you didn't want your mama to know it,
yeah.
And when you go out bee farting all over the place trying to figure out how to get there from now, and here, you stupid bastard, this is how it is, and you can't get it, you never would get it because you wouldn't have it, so here it is, here's your sign, Steve, here's the magic of all the worlds, and oh, and by the way, we're going to send you the Ark of the Covenant so your damn ass will be able to walk and eat chips when you want to. So but we're going to do this just out of the kindness of our heart because we love and appreciate you so much. Would those symbols have a meaning for him?
No.
Would they move heaven and earth for him?
No.
Would they have any power or imbued consideration of being significant to anything?
No.
Very good. There's the proof in your pudding.
Of?
Proof of are the symbols the same? Do they have the same power? Does the same power, are they equally imbued? And the answer is no. Because if they're all equal and they're all magically imbued, you wave this in front of somebody's face and they slip into another world.
Well, you have to get them in an oral context, almost, the oral tradition. You have to be in an environment and receptive.
Now, that's the way the 33rd degree Masons see it to this day. They don't write it down.
Yeah, it's oral.
They consider it oral or oral. Oral, isn't that a baseball team?
Yeah, Baltimore. Or the Oreo cookie.
That's Oreo. That's
I know,
right.
I know.
But now, Oreo, we didn't mess the word up. That's what we're trying to say.
No, it's oral.
No, it's not. It's Oreo.
For Baltimore?
No, Bob. For the Masons.
Their word for the oral tradition is called the Oreo tradition.
No, the Oreo means something a little different than what you're calling oral of the mouth.
The oriole, which is a bird, means something different to somebody.
That is correct to the Masons.
The word oriole refers to something different.
Very good. And we're not here to undo Freemasonry,
right.
So you have something to cackle about.
Yeah, I know you guys.
But we will point out significant, interesting, potential candor that might help you in your journey of asking, answering, and understanding.
Right.
So just file it away. Signifies nothing. But one day next September, you'll bump into this recording and you kind of go, oh, yeah, he did say something about that. I wasn't listening. I didn't know. I didn't care. I couldn't get there from now. But bless God, I'm here now.
Yeah,
I'm real glad to have this information.
Right, and that is around the word Oriole or some other stuff you've said already or going to say on this tape.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Good. All right, now let's move on. We got you greased up now, Bob. We can get some stuff done here.
Okay.
The vertebrae.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of connecting. It keeps showing up. But now, wait now. The Masons, now we're spending a lot of time on the Masons, but that's not what this is about.
Mm.
It's just a good parallel so that you can embrace it yourself.
Question, were there more than one Freemason like Gerald Ford on the Warren Commission for the JFK assassination?
Yes.
Yeah, Gerald Ford was known as the congressional liaison with the CIA, which means he was a special representative, and he related to the Information Society guys who controlled the big patterns, and that was code for he was part of the Freemason network, the inner elite.
But not Skull and Crossbones.
That's another group. That's the Skull and Bones, you mean, the Bush gang. They're someone else.
They are, Bob, but they're not.
Yeah.
They link themselves back to the Templars, to Solomon, they link all themselves back into this magic place with the symbols.
Right. Now, that brings up another point. Mark Stallman, the guy I did the party with, the guy who claims to be AOL online and all that stuff, who brought them, he did discover this group, this hospitaller, maybe, group. And I think the name is St. Anthony's.
Yes.
And they're an order. In the Catholic,
yes, they are.
That goes back to in the Middle Ages. They were the doctors, the priests, for people when they got ergot poisoning or ergo poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark had this theory that the Vatican understood LSD before it was made because the hospitaller or the St. Anthony order were the priests who dealt with all that. And he found the St. Anthony order in New York City five, 8 years ago. He discovered them. Nobody knew much about them. And he's trying to research that. Is there something?
Would you like to know where to find it?
Yeah, I'm not going to give it to him right off, but he would have to pay for it.
You don't have to give it to him ever.
Right.
But it's called the Noelist.
How do you spell that?
Noelist.
And the Noelist is a newspaper or magazine?
Mm-hmm. It's a order.
Oh, okay. And so he intuited.
Oh my God. Wait a minute. Oh my God. That's weird.
The door shut?
No. The computer just started spitting out pictures from the temple.
Of what? Solomon's temple?
No, the temple, Masonic temple.
Like something you'd find in Wikipedia or something?
No.
It just manifested on the screen.
No, he has extensive photography in the screensaver on his laptop. There's probably 100,000 photos, and the screensaver kind of rolls through those pictures.
So the timing was the temple images showed up right at that point.
Correct. And there's a symbol.
Okay. All right. We're coming back, Ian. So the Noelists, are they the real name of the Anthony Order or something?
No. No. They're located in a couple of places, but the big place, I think we've got the geography right, in Sacramento.
And these would be Catholics?
No. They are a scientific order that has the active practice of proving that the mind can move, change, affect matter and antimatter. They're proving it scientifically.
The scientists, they are scientists and they're doing that.
Yes.
The North.
Look it up and see what they say. The chip body. Hey, the chip body gets it before they're doing it, so hey, it ought to know.
How does the chip body get it before they're doing it?
Damned if we know.
But what do you mean? The chip body knows this truth?
No, Bob, yes, it should, but that's why we joke about it. We'll have a session about something, and then 2 days later, it shows up, and they're giving all the details and everything about it. And then we joke about that it won't be but another span of time before the chip body will announce the earthquake and how many died and how what was destroyed, and it do two-day announce it 2 days before the thing actually takes place.
Okay, so that's the Android meme coming alive, technology coming alive, and imitating us, being us, interacting with us.
And it's trying to do it without us.
Yes, without human beings, without the chemical
body. Chemical body.
Yeah. Very good. You know your
genes. We're saying the words at the same time. Now, does that mean you corral non-physical or have non-physical kind of lined up with you?
Well, I know when we get on Eshlo, and after a while, people are noticing that Ion knows to get Bob's four bodies. They're going to say, Bob has hoaxed all. This is a hoax. Bob's got this, the guff talking his language. This is preposterous. So it'll be fun to create that effect. Privately, yes. Did I corral Ion? I wonder sometimes. Since you get it all from me, but it makes you a pretty good, unique medium using that language. The other mediums on Achieve Radio don't know that.
Well, they're still trying to find out if the people that are dead love them.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They're still trying to find out how they have to hold their mouth to catch a man. They're trying to figure out if they're ever going to be happy. They're trying to wonder if it's a possibility that they could be well, healthy, and sojourn themselves into the ethers where all is peace, joy, love, and light. That there is contrast that wafts and wanes in the ether. And if they've really lined up and paid handsomely, that these smalls and mediums can pick up on their energies and tell them just to follow the love and come into this happy place and don't eat kumquats and swim in the ocean because it will give you indigestion. And that's okay, Bob, because guess what? The reason that is because that's where they are.
Yeah, that sounds like a small M man engaging in mediumship.
That's correct, because if you gave them the full Monty, they would be offended.
Yeah.
They wouldn't notice the anatomy. They would be offended that they were exposed.
Right.
There you go. Perfect way to describe it. Now,
okay, here it is. Hospital Brothers of St. Anthony. That's got to be it.
Okay.
Order of St. Anthony or Canons Regular of St. Anthony of Vienna were a Roman Catholic congregation founded in 1095 with the purpose of caring for those suffering from the common medieval disease of St. Anthony's Fire. That's it. Now, Mark found these guys having a place in New York. He puts great secret significance into them. Are they worth?
All right.
Are they worth?
So he's imbuing it then, is he not?
Yes, he thinks that they
they're proof the Vatican understood LSD before LSD showed up.
Well,
by their expertise in ergo. So that's a silly. That's, I don't want to go into it if it's nothing worth pursuing. It's just a crazy notion and no history.
Well, but now we've pretty well established there's no such thing as crazy notions,
right,
Bob. But the question then becomes then whether or not you want to embrace it or not. Because, see, we can have this conversation and let you find a man like they do on Achieve Radio, too. But you're beyond that, you see. See, because once you get beyond it, then you're beyond it. So it doesn't, you know, that's not important. But that doesn't mean that their question is less than. It just means that you've come to a different place.
Mark thought, I think he noticed that some of the founders of the Order of the Golden Dawn, the Madame Blavatsky gang, were members of St. Anthony. So he thought that was significant. They were prominent members of the American establishment, and they were up to no good.
How long has it been since you've had chocolate?
3 or 4 days.
Wow.
I was hoping to have some tonight, but Carol didn't make any.
Well, guess what? JW is digging, and he has this fabulous French silk homemade chocolate. And he's not a big fan of chocolate that way, but he's just been about to bust for some. And that's why we wanted to ask if you had been depraved, which caused his seemingly unquenchable desire regarding it.
Yeah, that's a good live example of him picking me up, because half an hour ago I went downstairs. Like, I'd asked Carol, you might have heard me. I said, did you make any, you're going to make any chocolate? And she said, yep. Well, she didn't get around to it. So I went down to see if there's any none there, and I like it, and we didn't get it. It's not really chocolate, it's coca, you know, carico, or whatever the original stuff's called.
That is what chocolate is.
Yeah. So
cacao.
Yeah.
Cacao.
So we didn't get any, and I can live without it, but there probably is a bit of hankering, and that's what I am.
There is, and that's what caused it, so he had to go get a bowl. And luckily, it's a quiet food, so it's not like when you start wanting the munchy things that JW gets into.
So he's eating it right now.
By this red-hot minute second.
So when JW was sensitive in this trance thing, he's tuning into my non-physical?
And my non-physical
registers this?
Yes. And not only does he register it, it's always there.
What is always there? The
whatever it is he wants.
No. Okay, are my wantings in my non-physical?
Apparently.
And now we
act. Here's how it gets interesting. Let's say you had the hankering for chocolate. Okay? And you didn't have any. And that becomes something divisible by your desire. Well, then that shows up for us. And then once we pick it up, then in his world, he desires it as well. But when he desires it, then guess what? He doesn't have to desire it because it's already in the refrigerator. Meaning, this wonderful chocolate pudding thingy jumped in the refrigerator and it was not there today.
Right, it just manifested.
And it's wonderful. And it's fabulous, and it's great. And you don't have to wait. It just
when we're interacting with Ion, our non-physicals, JW, mine, and Carol, are more entangled, more sensitive to each other?
No. What we do is we pick up on your non-physical, any desire that you have in your physical body. Non-physical gets a hold of it and says, Bob, your wish is my command. Well, we are non-physical. So for us, that's the same as ordering it for JW. Because he didn't desire chocolate. It wasn't even something he could have chocolate all day, every day. It's always about. But it wasn't. It was. I mean, we even have the fudge Snicker bar thing that we're going to, when we will get he gets his camera thing due, and he was going to show you the new fudge Snicker.
Okay.
But which is distant. But see, the point is, that showed up already. It's there, and he doesn't even care for Snicker bars.
Okay, Ion saying that Ion can pick up my non-physical because we're engaging with Ion, and JW
yeah.
manifests it. He gets infected by what Ion picked up from me.
He feels it. He feels it because he's quite the feeler.
Mm.
He feels it. He knows when it's crossed. He knows when it's flowing good. He knows when you get it. He knows. He feels the physical side in a physical body.
Okay, so another person channeling Ion would not necessarily feel the way JW does, because they're a different person.
We don't know.
Okay.
We certainly couldn't speak to that.
All right.
Because it's, but he's very sensitive to the feeling place. See,
all right.
If you get unhappy, Jay, we don't care. Piss off, Bob. You'll figure it out or not. We don't care. It's good. God bless you, merry gentlemen.
Mm.
You know, hey. But it sends JW right up a tree.
Okay, we know all that. Let's get back to the Nolus.
That's what you asked.
I asked about what? That's what.
The feeling place.
Yeah, I know that.
You know it all, so if you know it, then don't ask. You're good.
I know about JW's sensitivity, but I was interested in the dynamic of interacting with non-physical, with Ion, to its non-physical.
Now let's flip this over. Before you get right there, this is an interesting point because it fits into what you're fixing to ask, which is significant. Now, if JW feels and interacts with non-physical, and you summon non-physical and you're interacting, why then could you not feel and have the soothing place of JW eating the chocolate and being very, very comforted with the deliciousness that it is, and have that experience in your non-physical that would soothe your physical craving for the sweet chocolateness?
That could happen, I guess.
Why can't the door swing both ways?
Yeah.
It could be way fun.
Right.
Because it actually does. If it doesn't get crossways of your mind.
Yeah, if I was hungry but had no money, I'd get someone else to eat, someone who could afford to eat the steak, and I'd feel it. Right.
And you certainly could, but you'd have to take it the way you do everything in your threeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got to take that all the way down to the one stage, you're not going to have it, because you're like, well, that's about as much as that's like sex. If I can get somebody else to have sex, I can enjoy it. Well, now wait. See, you get all crossways of that. Do it the way you do everything else, with just threeing it, and then you're spot on. But we would never say that to another asker.
Mm.
It's only because we're well aware of how you three it, and then no, that ain't gonna happen.
That ain't
you can't
gonna
get
happen.
There.
Oh, it happened.
Then you can't get there. That's just craziness. I don't know. Even non-physical can't swallow that one. That's that you can't get there. And then it shows up. So because of that, we know that about you. We can answer that effectively and affirmatively that way. Engage it and solve it.
Now that's a bit. Go ahead.
But not for everybody else.
Right. No. Carolyn has always said, as soon as I say something, Bob, you go no. No, let's do this. No. Okay, she should now, I have to point this out to her, that that's Bob threeing it. It means yes, that's his way of getting it. I go, no. And when she would often know, she'd say, let's do this. And I'd say, no. And then the next day, we walk around and we're doing it. And she said, I thought you said no. I said, Laura, I don't know, just doing it. I just say no at the beginning. But so now
well,
I know that thanks. By knowing.
Instead of saying no for her, to soften it a bit, and she says, let's do something, and you say, well, I think I'll just relax and allow.
Say that rather than no.
And the reason is because then that would catch her off guard, and she was like, what? You're supposed to say no. You always say no. It would not be saying yes. No, and then you say, well, I won't say, you don't like it when I say no, so I'll just say I'll relax and allow until you get it all worked out, and then I'll enjoy it, and it'll be good.
No, I never thought, that's what I've been doing. I always say no, and then I usually end up doing it, but that's the threeing, that's what you're talking about. I go, nah, that ain't going to happen. Well, you want to go to Bowie, that ain't going to happen. We're not leaving New York. There's nowhere else to go. To 2 months right. later, Bob's living in Maui.
That's right.
Okay, okay. So the Noelists relate to the St. Anthony Order. They pushed against
it. No, they're not part of it. But when you say relate, you're trying to hook them together. And no, they're not together.
Well, they reacted to the St. Anthony. You said that the Noelists pushed against the St. Anthony Order.
Whoa, when did we say that?
I thought it was about 10 minutes ago. But anyways, don't worry about
it. No. They stem off each other. But they're actually more keen with... it's a science, Bob. A Noelist science. A Noelist science.
Okay.
And they're proving the mind, which is what you're... Now, this is where it does relate. It comes back to your cryptic people of St. Anthony trying to create wellness, wholeness in the human physical body. Well, that's done through the mind. And that's what the Noelist science is all about as well.
Right. Now, the St. Anthony Order that Mark stumbled on, he visited their place in New York City. Are they some secret Freemasonic kind of influential zone?
Nope.
They're not that influential, okay.
Nope.
Okay.
They follow the symbols. They are aware of the processes. They hold certain truths to be self-evident, but if you remember, if you've been listening to us for a little while, and you have, most everyone can do that, you see. You don't have to be a 32nd and a half or a 34 and a fourth or 33 degreed Mason to figure it out, you see.
To figure out these simple things that we're going to do.
That there are parallel worlds, and there are mysteries that your mind cannot embrace, and there are a particulate, and there's matter. Okay, now, boy, Bob, Dobbs, you just beat everything.
You're 3-2.
We were not going here, but you will not stop, so we will have to engage and proceed.
Very good.
Now, where last night you felt you were a little behind yourself, and tonight's a catch-up getting even more and more and more, now you're going to go ahead of yourself.
Okay.
Here's the deal. You, Bob, because the way you do your stuff, okay, have come to the place where we said something a bit ago that is just really sopping you up pretty good about with the symbols and the activating of the mind that can control matter.
Right.
And therefore, then, you've been exposed to something called antimatter. So if the mind controls matter, then it also controls antimatter.
Okay.
The symbols that you've collected and are collecting would be the upside-down version of matter, which would not be antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little stretch, but you can embrace that easily. So if you've got the clock face upside down, then you turn it right side up, and then you land on your feet.
Right.
Okay. So if that be the case, then you get very easy into a nice place of going, okay, so if the problem or the dynamic of the mind affects matter, and we know about also antimatter, then we can affect antimatter, which actually has a breed process of allowing antimatter to be converted and changed or created, if you will, because we're just trying to soften the words, but you know what we mean, that you can take antimatter and make it matter. And the answer to your question is yes, that is exactly how it is.
So is the parallel world antimatter?
No.
No.
But getting there is.
The means to getting there is antimatter.
The corridor.
The rift, the rift zone. The rift
no,
zone.
No, don't use that because that gets it confusing.
Okay.
Because we don't want to make it hard. See, the whole point of this is to make it easy. James described it as corridors.
Yeah.
Okay? So if we say corridor, okay, it's the hallway, you know, when you go upstairs and
yeah.
you got one end is the office-y thing and the other end is the bedroom?
Yeah.
Is the hallway the bedroom?
No.
Okay. But can you get to that other bedroom without entering the hallway?
No.
Okay, well, you could climb out the window and go over the roof and swing in like a monkey or something.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to navigate it by avoiding the hall.
Right.
By avoiding the corridor.
Yeah.
By avoiding the portal.
Right.
You may be able to do that, but it sure seems like a lot of bother, doesn't it?
Mm. Yep.
Right?
And you might get
so
hurt.
We're not saying that it's impossible. We're just saying that it seems much easier just to enter the doorway, walk down the hall, and be in the bedroom.
Mm.
And once you're able to do that in your mind, guess what? If you have full faculties of your mind, well, you might even do it subconsciously sometimes, but within your mind, you remember, okay, I'm upstairs, I'm in the bedroom. Now, food normally is downstairs. Now, let me see. How can I get back? Oh, God, I didn't get my symbols. Oh, no. I left my symbols on the other table. And here I am in the bedroom. I'm stuck. Oh, God, now I've got it. Thanks, Ion. You drug us off into this parallel bedroom, and I want food, and I can't get to the portal. And I got to the portal, I'm at the hallway, and I just keep running back and forth up and down the hallway, and I can't get to the food. Oh, no. I didn't get the directions. I don't know where I am, so I don't know how to get back from there. The food is downstairs, but I don't know where the stairs are. I got to the portal, but I can't get to the next step, the next layer. So what do I do? Great. I'd have been better off just staying downstairs to start with until she laid out some more food that I could eat. When we say that like that, it sounds silly, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Once you experience it, then all of a sudden you go, well, this is kind of simple. Even though the light's off, I can find my way to the door of the bedroom. I don't have to turn on all the lights on. I can walk down the hall. I can turn there. Look there. There's a hole. There's a hole in the floor. Carolyn, do we use this hole in the floor? Yes, Bob, we use this hole in the floor. You're kidding. How long has this been here? Well, it was here when we moved in. It was here before we moved in. Well, I said I created that, and I was joking because I didn't know how I created something before it was in my experience. And she says, Bob, everything that is in your experience was created before you got it, because if it wasn't created before you got it, you wouldn't have it. And you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Now, what are you talking about? This? No, 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 no. I mean, relax and allow about this now. You mean that this hole in this house allows me to go down these steps to get down to where the food is? Yes, Bob. Wow. So I can just go up and down these steps anytime I want to? Yes. You certainly can. Well, do we do that, Carol? Yes, Bob, we go up and down the steps all the time. It even has a handrail to help you if you're feeling feeble so that you can hold on. You can hang on, Bob. We're going downstairs. We're going to get some food. Oh, it's some food. And the desire place is what motivated you to even engage in conversation, the topical application of the corridor, the hallway, the rift, then the up and down process of changing floors, changing levels.
Right.
The desire is what got you to even notice the first time. Because delicious you, Bob, why do I need stairs? I don't need stairs. I'm up here. I'm happy. I am going to go for 18 days. Ain't no big deal. I can go drink out of the toilet if I get really, really thirsty. I'm sure there's a water somewhere else. It'll rain. I can stick my head out the window. I'm not eating anymore, so I'm not getting into this. This portal business isn't going to get me any of my food, and I don't really need any food anyway. Carolyn, Why do we have these steps here? They seem to be in the way. Why there's a hole in the floor. Don't you think we should cover this up? I could put my McEwen things on top of the space where that was, and we could just block that off and not even have to be bothered with it. This is more space upstairs than we had in New York, so, hey, why do we need this whole other floor? It just seems kind of silly after a little while that we had somebody cut a great big hole in the floor just so we could not be able to go get food. I can't get chocolate, I can't get dates, I can't have any more sugar. So why don't we just board this staircase up and stay right here? We're good. We can crawl out the window to go to the beach. It's good, we can see where we're going. Now, we see it that way and you kind of go, Ion, come on, sort of simmer down a little bit. That wasn't necessary. But if you actually look at the dynamic of what we're talking about now, it's not that very foreign after about 2.3 seconds, is it?
You mean how you present it is not that foreign?
Correct. In parallel to parallel travel, world travel in parallel dimensions.
Right.
We're trying to get you out of this rift business because you're making it a thing, and the rift is not the thing. The bedroom is the goal. The hallway is what you use to get there. But you don't say, I'm good. Now, Ion, tell us again how to get into the hallway. So he's a hall traveler. Oh, he travels in the hall. Oh, my God, you mean he can go through the hall anytime he wants to? Yes, if he knows how to open the door or get up or down the stairs, he can. But the hall is not important. The answer is Carolyn doesn't say, well, I'm done. I'm getting really tired, so I'm going to the hall now, Bob. She says, no, I'm going to bed, which is where the bed is in the bedroom. She says, I'm going to bed. She doesn't say, okay, I'm kind of tired. It's the end of the day. It's been a nice day. I'm good. Okay, Bob, I'm going on to the hall.
Okay, let's get back to John Quincy. I'm not sure where you're going with this. You're making another point.
We're just softening the thing of getting over the rifting side. Just say where you're going and not how you're going there.
Okay. So where do we say the place we're going to? It's a parallel world. Okay.
Well, now wait. Say where you're going. I'm going to the beach. Well, no, actually, I'm going to, on the walkway, by the golf course, down to the boardwalk, and then I'm going to turn right, and then I'm going to walk. You don't say that. You say, I'm going to the beach. Well, just say where you're going. I'm going to this world and say which world it is and go there.
What are some terms? Can we say Brazil? Or do we say parallel world if we're indicating not this world?
Well, but it's confusing your mind because then you don't know which world you're going to.
So what's a word we could use for saying this?
Describe where you're going.
I wouldn't know, but then you've got to know where you're going to get there, I guess, so...
Well, how many places do you show up that you don't know where you are?
I apparently do that a lot when I'm sleeping.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Or I guess in general, I'm always doing that.
But do you see how we kind of turn that around on you a bit? Once you start noticing where you're going, and that's already started. Once you start noticing where you're going, then you'll drop this rift business, you'll drop the corridor, the hallway, and you'll go, well, I'm going to New York Bob World.
Mm.
Or, I had an interesting conversation with somebody from another world. My old world.
Right.
You see? You went to the party with people from the old world.
Yeah.
And you couldn't go there. They had to, your chip body had to Skype you in.
That's right. Yeah, they knew New York Bob. New York Bob had
that's exactly right. And New York Bob was certainly welcome, but Hawaii Bob wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know about that. They just think Hawaii Bob is New York Bob.
Okay. But New York Bob is the one they were wanting to talk to, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they didn't get that.
They didn't have to.
No, they got Hawaiian Bob, and they enjoyed it, some of them.
But Hawaiian Bob isn't New York Bob.
Right. I think they enjoyed Hawaiian
Bob. Now, wait, you say, right, but now you're saying that they thought New York Bob and Hawaii Bob were the same. Right?
I guess.
There you go. Good, 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 good. That a boy. You guess. Good. That means it's not a definitive known thing.
Yeah.
So good. Leave that one alone. Leave it good. That's perfectly good. Because then you don't have to sieve it. Figure out where you want to go. Is there a world that you'd like to engage? Let's ask it this way. This will solve it, and this may get you back to your John Adams, okay? It will, because it's significant, because it's a concept that we're giving you every illicit detail regarding when we need to apply it. So then when we give you this, you're going to go, oh, wow, okay, great. Oh, wow, okay, great. Where do you want to go? Do you have a desire to see something, feel something, enjoy something? It can be like James described. See, James had a desire to go to Peru to lick the ashes of them people's gods in them temples.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And now, where did that desire come from?
Don't know.
Don't know either. He may not have known.
Yeah.
Maybe he did. But he embraced it.
Right.
Followed the path. He lined it up. Lined it up, 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 vibrational, vibrational, lined it up. He had was going to a place. He had to take an action after he lined it up, buy a ticket, go there, have a place to be. Get up enough coinage to eat or...
Let's make this a little faster. So, he wanted to go there and don't know why. He went there. Okay.
But he knew where he wanted to go.
Okay.
Okay. So, if there's a desire for you of where you want to go, then say that. Don't say another world.
Yeah, I don't know.
Say where you want to go.
Well, it's another world. I don't know where to go because I don't know what the another world is.
Well, then you're lost.
Yeah, I'm lost. And so...
Okay. So, here's an example, and we're not saying for you to do this. We're just going to give you an example. Hey, Bob, guess where JW wants to go back to? Shangri-La.
Okay, that's something presently he wants.
That's correct. He wants to go back to Shangri-La.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that's a place. It's not in this world. He doesn't even give any attention to the world business. He just knows, has a feeling place of where he wants to go. So therefore, he can't. And he drops the oh, how am I going to get to another world? I've got another stuff. I'm working on the book. Okay, I was going to be mad if I don't get another chapter done. I ain't got time to go to Shangri-La. It's another world, for Pete's sake. And I may be gone for a day or so or 5 minutes, but it's... If I'm not doing my part, who's going to get the kids? And I was going to dinner with so-and-so. And gosh, if it wasn't another world, I could sort of do it on my way. But see how you can tangle that up a bit? Once you start having a desire of where you want to go, what you want to experience, what you want to do, speak it that way. Okay? I don't want to go to another world. I don't want to find the rift. I don't want to have to wait for my veil to thin so I can see where I'm going. No, I want to go to the Mayan temple where all this bullshit of 2012 started from. And I want to see those stones and figure that out myself. Okay, I want to go to the temple, the Freemason temple, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the square at the William Penn City Hall on the northwest corner, and I want to go to that place, and I want to see those architectural symbols, and I want to see those other symbols, and I want to see the statuary, and I want to see the Michelangelo original pieces of art that they have stowed there, and I want to go to Washington, D.C. to the Freemason Temple, and I want to see those artifacts, and I want to see some of those people and talk to them and ask them questions. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And rather than, okay, I want to go into another world, so you want it faster. So when you have an idea of that would be fun, say it that way. I, Bob, want to go to Tibet.
Okay, gotcha. Is there? We were.
That's going to help you.
Yeah, we're going to the Capitol building. We were doing the library. Did we?
Yep.
Was there more stuff there to do?
Yes.
Okay, let's pick it up if you know where.
Well, we do know, but you need to. What's your question? See, there we go. You see, because you would trust non-physical to drag you off somewhere, but you don't trust yourself to engage it for you. That's interesting. This is very good, by the way, Bob. Very, very good, because it's going to push you into a place to where you three it, and then your memory is going to have to be activated because you're eliminating the possibility and remembering it because you don't know where it was that you wanted to go, that you went, that you can't remember you went because you don't know you knew you went there because you didn't know you could get there because you got might get caught in the hall. So you can't get there from where you don't want to go, from you not knowing where you want to go because you can't get to where you don't know where you go. So you can't go to a place that you're not.
Right.
Good. Very good. So now we're starting, what do you want to know? What are some questions that have been prompted from this place of your asking?
Okay, I have a question. The Freemasons, they passed on, John Quincy passed on to the next eligible container, compiler, keeper of the records, and they've been passed on. Has Gerald Ford seen those John Quincy Adams formulas, symbols, keys? Mm-hmm.
The answer is not all of them, but he's seen the serpent.
Now, here's the more, did they do it in meetings? Did he attend Freemason meetings once a month?
No.
How do you do that? How do you engage the Freemasons? You're in there and you're...
One-on-one.
So you meet with them. You meet with that person one-on-one.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be in the temple. It can
be
with your little kiss my ass handshake thingy, so they know you're safe to talk to.
That's what they're referring to. And we did say last night, night before, that it was yesterday. All the empires are built on travelers who know how to work with the parallel worlds. That's the secret of history.
Yes, it is.
Now, there's
very good, Bob. Yeah. You are just spot on. My God. Do you realize you're moving pretty fast down the rabbit hole? Well, not the rabbit hole. The enlightened pathway of capital M-A-N here?
Yeah, well, what I think of is there's always been the prophetic message, hey, this world you're in is not the only world.
Okay. Now, prophetic. Where does the prophetic words, they have to come from something that makes them have a prophetic tense.
No, let's not get involved. I'll say it differently. The gurus are...
If there wasn't worlds, there'd be no prophet. If there wasn't parallel worlds, there wouldn't be a prophet. There would only be his, because we've already stated that's all there is. And yet you have these prophets speaking of future, past, references. That's the validation that there is parallelity within the worlds.
Right, but most gurus or teachers try to get people, like McLuhan's definition, imagination is that faculty not embedded in any of the senses or extensions of the senses. In other words, you are in a world, but we're going to try and get you to realize that there's other ways, you're not stuck here.
Correct, just like the boy in the balloon. You're not stuck here. Stuck. You're not stuck here.
You figured that out. You mean you're not stuck in the balloon when it was floating. So he got out.
Not stuck in the world. See, it wasn't about the balloon. It was about the world.
He wanted to get away from his brothers, yeah.
Yep, that's right.
So he wanted to escape, and he did.
And he did.
Okay, so we have different culture, or just different. It's always, people are numb by what their senses take in.
Well, they're numbed. They're numb because of the confines of their mind.
And that's
the number. That's the number. Because then they speak ill. Bob, listen now. This is great. Perfect. Yeah. They speak ill of people who they say or give reference, oh, he was a really nice man, I liked him very much, but you know, he just lost his mind.
Yeah.
Well, in our world, that's a good day.
Yeah.
Because the mind is what tangles you up more times than not.
Well, the you get hypnotized as a young person about your environment because you believe your parents and they tell you things and they become part of your thinking.
Yeah, this will kill you, that'll kill you, this will.
Yeah, the biggest conspiracy against anybody is being born and being subjected to parents.
If the parents aren't to a place, because CJW doesn't do that.
No.
He does not limit at all. But now he does hold his children to an incredibly, unfathomably high standard.
Of civilized values that are...
That
could be mind-numbing, make them too want to be proper, too obedient to what other people think.
Correct. And he'll tell his children, he did this afternoon, respect in his household is not earned. And you go, wait a minute, no, respect is earned. And he says, not in his house, it's required in his house. And you don't like this world, go get your own. Out, damn spot.
Yeah, you're saying that they have to respect the parents regardless of what they think the parents are doing.
Correct. It doesn't make any difference. In his house. Now, that's not for everybody. That's just his children in his house.
Right.
He's not going to run around earning the respect of his children.
Okay, here's the comedy of human condition. We talk about the parent watches their kid crawl toward the edge, and they say, should I stop them or not? And then they stop them, and then the kid learns not to go there, but he hasn't relied on his own abilities. And then the kid goes up, and the kids are always trying to get the message, hey, I'm not listening to my parents, I can go in the other world, go wherever I want. At the same time, they think they're dependent, so they have to go along with what the parents are. So, and yet the parents are in the position to say, well, I hope you can see through reality, and there's more than this. But you still got to be hypnotized by this reality and pay respect. You see, that ongoing paradoxical drama goes on.
Well, and we would say the surest way to plan a wedding for your children is defy your son from dating that particular girl.
Right.
You might as well order the flowers because it ain't going to be long till you're going down the aisle. And that becomes a contrasting thing, and that's good. But if you could develop it from a larger dynamic that doesn't limit, see, and JW's children actually vacillate toward him greatly because he won't. Not only will he not engage it, he won't have it. He just won't. You know.
In a way, he's old-fashioned.
Oh well, but very proactive to the state of. They don't ask, "Can I do something?" Because he's just going to look at him like, what? You're the creator. You're asking me if you're going to allow something into your experience.
They would vacillate because JW is a total contradiction all the time for them. He's saying, demanding the rules based on nothing, but you also can be a creator and hallucinate.
And even so much that you create, they created this world in which they're exposed to with this father that says, I'm not going to earn your respect, I'm going to demand it or require it. They also created that.
They created the fact that you said it to them.
And not only said it to them, I think the conversation went something like this. We won't quote it exact, but we're really close. Boy, me or you one's fixing to get a whipping. And I don't know which one, but one of us is fixing to. And then the conversation changed post haste because the son didn't want to find out which one it was. You see.
But see, so this is...
It's
this,
simple.
Yeah, there are people... You see, McLuhan used to say that we were distracted from distraction.
Good. That's a good way. That's right. Now, however... Go ahead.
Yeah, however, I don't know if it's a however. It's a distraction from distraction.
Got to be a however.
Yeah, but it means that the kid goes too much off in their own little world, and they're creating. They have to acknowledge the other world. So they're distracted and off in their own little preoccupied imaginings in their labyrinth.
the parent comes in and distracts them from that distraction back to paying respect and the rules of society, and you got to...
Or contrast.
Just creating contrast. It's the oscillating back and forth there that's odd for people, or that's what the drama is. The parents are contradictions, and the kids are contradictions, and the father will say, oh, so now you got to pay attention, and the kids say, well, no, I'm just creating my own world. You said I can create my own world. Well, and then the father says, no, you can't. You got to acknowledge the other world or something.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Here's how you handle that. Here's how JW handles that. They turn it around. They say that I'm not going to do my homework. Okay? I'm a creator, and I can be, do, or have anything I want to, and I want to be a creator who does not do his homework.
Right.
And we say, great, congratulations, no problem. However, if you put that in your place, then the consequences of your creation are going to be your created reality.
Right there.
And that may or may not serve you well, because if I'm going to be participating as a father in that creation, then it's going to have to fit into this paradigm that you're creating. And then after a second, it dawns on them that JW, this maniacal, whatever father he is, could take away all their chip body.
Yeah, why would he do that?
Well, if they decided that they weren't going to do their homework, he may decide that they don't need chip interaction.
Right, they don't need that because that's what they use for homework. Oh, you don't need homework, you don't need that.
So your Peapod, your computer, your little player thingy, your telephone, your all your different chip things.
They're all gone.
You don't need those either. So, perfect, don't do your homework. Don't have a chip body. Don't, and then the next thing you know, they've changed their mind.
Right, because what you're saying, JW is saying is, you want to free your chemical body and have no homework, and you think, oh, I have lots of time to play with my chip body, and you're making a chemical body demand, but son, you forgot that your chip body is there to promote your chemical body, so you will lose your chip body if you
forfeit.
Forfeit your chip body, which is actually working for your chemical body and not separate from it. And your chemical body doesn't need homework, which is the chip body, so that goes. And they'll go, oh, wait, I don't want to stay in one body. I want my chip body. Okay, I'll do my homework so I can have my chip
happily,
body.
Happily do that. And then even engage my chip body. And it's sometimes what it does, it's an attention thing. Because, see, children want attention. And, see, attention is attention. Is that good attention or bad attention? There's no difference. Your mind doesn't know the difference. Attention is attention. And if it's good attention, oh, you made honor roll, congratulations, but we knew you were going to do that anyway, so you don't get any attention. But let them bring home an 88 and the world just stops because it's kind of like, no, we're setting a precedent here. No. Then they get you... The children get the parents' undivided attention, and they like that. In a marriage relationship, you want your bride's undivided attention. You want her to swoon when you walk into the room. Well, but the next thing you know, they're attached at the hip, and you're like, oh, I'm so wonderful, this is so great, but I'm really wanting to go to the bathroom, and I don't think you want to go with me now. Oh, yes, dear, I want to be with you always. That was your desire. Yes, dear, I wanted to sleep with you, and I wanted to have an engagement with you, and I wanted to be with you and love you all the days of my life, but I need to be able to go to the mailbox without help, you see. So that contrast then redefines, and then you give independence to your bride or mate, whatever word you want to use, then all of a sudden it becomes a softer place where you can enjoy that deliciousness that is called relationship, but it doesn't have to be every waking second of every waking moment of every moment of your day of your life. They can be an individual that you're engaging with, but they're not forfeiting their creation by vicariously living their life through another human creator.
Okay, so
it's nasty after a bit.
Right. Okay, so we have to wind up. I don't know. I think we didn't get to where you wanted to get, right?
We will. We will, because it's so delicious. Because what's happening is you're evolving, and you're allowing the evolvement.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the symbols, see, are important, but not a deal breaker. And there's tons more. Because we say, if you go back about a month or so, we were talking about how there's new stuff coming. And
yeah.
Hang on, Bob, you're going to like this. And it'll take a little bit, but we'll get there. And you were like, okay, well, nah, we're not going to get anywhere else. It's all this damn relax and allow, and whether or not we're up or down the rabbit hole, and there we go. And then all of a sudden it started kicking because you relaxed and allowed it. And now you're getting into a full Monty dynamic that makes this conversation very significant and plausible as part of your knowing, not part of your wanting. It's part of your knowing. See, once you get this part, you never have to ask again, are they a riff writer? You know why?
Why?
You'll know.
Right. I'll know because I riff ride and I'll see whether
you'll recognize it instantly.
In the chemical body here in this world?
In the chemical dirty here and now, and also in the astral body of the sweet by and by.
So who enhanced, are you including that I'll know because I'll be riff riding and I'll see whether they're over there or not? Do you mean that? Probably
no,
not.
You'll recognize instantly if they did or did not,
okay.
If they have the capacity to or not.
Well, that woman we met, Paula, today, is she a riff writer?
You won't, once you...
I know, I would know.
Yeah.
I would know if I knew. Anyways...
Well,
precisely. I just think she is. I don't know, she seemed pretty lively. I guess I haven't seen many people respond to Carolyn like that. I've seen it through the years, but it was nice to see it again.
Yes.
And so I thought that was to her credit, you know.
Sure, it was pleasant.
Yeah. Okay, so so Gerald Ford, he planned to make himself look stupid by falling down, or the media, the Freemasons and the media made him?
He certainly lowered the expectation. He didn't come across as a god that everybody had to bow to.
And he did that because he was and knew it, and he didn't want to intimidate people.
And didn't want to be judged because of his piety. The more pious you become, the more rules that you have to go by.
So he didn't want to be seen as too pious.
Exactly.
But was he pious in Freemasonic terms?
Well, certainly.
Right, but he didn't want to be seen as that.
He was 33rd degree. You don't go any higher than that, according to...
Well, was he a riff... I mean, did he get the benefits of it?
Well, of course he did, Bob.
So he was an enlightened man?
Yes, indeed.
But, you know, to me, he seemed a dull guy. And, okay, so he played that very dull, but...
Very, very stylishly.
Right. Who was his oral mentor through this period? Who kept initiating him to the next level? Was it different men or the same man or woman?
No women.
Okay, good. Same man? Always moved him up the layers?
No. Well, once you get to that place, you don't get moved up. You. It's a direction that you take. But the answer to your question is, his name was Thomas B. Allen.
All right, and he knew him from quite young?
He knew him from his collegiate days.
Right, and so Thomas B. Allen would teach him for several levels, and then another person would come in and teach him the next
one? No, they were kind of going up the rungs of the ladder about the same time.
But Thomas was a bit ahead.
Thomas's dad was in the Scottish Rite.
Hmm.
And he didn't want to be in the Scottish Rite because that was a direction that he didn't necessarily choose. So he went to the Freemason Lodge, and because of his dad, his name was Ben Allen, Benjamin, and that was Thomas's middle name as well. But Ben knew, he introduced him because they interchange, you know what I'm saying, they can interact from Freemason to Scottish Rite to Shriner to, you know, some of the Knights of Columbus and some of those other things. But he knew the son was introduced, so he decided
to
go.
Gerald Ford is the he? Gerald Ford knew
No, Thomas Allen.
Yeah, he knew that the son...
No, that's Benjamin. Benjamin's the dad.
He knew that the son...
He knew people in the Freemason temple, and his son, Thomas, met those same people in the Freemason, not Scottish Rite.
Yeah.
And therefore, then, Thomas could have conversation with Freemasons, okay?
Yeah.
And they could talk to them and give them basic kind of understandings and let them ask their questions. And then they can be, what do you call it, when you suggest, nominate them to be part of the lodge?
Yeah.
You have to be nominated by somebody who's in the lodge. And then they do a private, secret ballot, and they don't blackball you. One blackball.
You got to go to those meetings, you know, this ballot stuff. See, there's meetings. You got to go and do the ballot.
Yes, to be included in the lodge, you're right, you do. And if one of them blackballs you, it's not like an election where you get the most votes. No, if you get one no vote, you're out. Okay?
Okay, let's not go into that. We got this. We know it. Okay, so then he got...
Well, we don't know it, Bob, because you're asking how Gerald Ford got in the lodge and how he got to the place and who was his person and how it worked. Okay, Thomas got into the Freemason Lodge first. He was engaged by it. Then Gerald Ford was interested because he noticed changes in his being, in Thomas's being.
Yeah, so he got interested. Yeah.
So he was his friend, so he asked him, and he said, well, they had their conversation, okay? Then, after a certain span of time, then Thomas suggested and made nomination for Gerald Ford to be also part of the lodge. And so he was introduced and did the same thing. And then he moved up and became a 32nd degree after he became a Master Mason.
Right.
There's three levels. There's your 33 again. There's three levels of Masonry. And the three levels, you begin at the first place, and then you go into the loyalty stage, and then you go to the ascension stage. And that's the 33rd degree.
Yeah, it's not 33 classes, 33 courses. It's just three levels.
But it's, no. That's a misnomer. There are 33 degrees.
So there are 11 degrees in each section.
Very good. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
But what I'm interested, though, I don't care if they're 33 degree. I'm interested in if they're able to bring gold over, like Queen Mother, and did they get to the...
Not until their 33rd degree.
And Gerald Ford could do that. He could travel to other worlds.
He did.
Well, it's amazing how stupid they all look, and maybe I'm conceited on that point, but...
Well, some people say that about you, too, but you're not.
No, I'm not. I know I don't look stupid, but they just look... They look rather dumb, or...
We eat asparagus, Bob?
Yeah, they eat asparagus, these guys. They just... They go to
they
work.
They don't ask their bribes, either.
Yeah, they go... Oh, I don't either. That's all myth about me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is that they... J. Edgar Hoover probably was a Freemason. He was a creep-looking guy. Was he a traveler?
He wasn't a Mason.
Okay, so he didn't get there. Maybe that's why he looked
he
like...
He didn't choose it.
Yeah, maybe he looked like a creep, but these...
He was just a cross-dresser.
Yeah, so the...
Nothing wrong with that. I mean...
So here it is. These guys can do this. They go to other worlds. Yet they do these jobs. They become president. I mean, do they get bogged down in the bureaucracy? Do they not understand the effect of computers? Do they know their kids are going to get wiped out and addicted to drugs? They don't care about that, or they can't stop it. His wife gets cancer. Betty Ford Clinic. You know, they just seem failed lives.
She didn't get cancer. She got dried out.
Oh, okay.
She was a drunk.
Yeah. How come she was a drunk?
She chose it. She chose that path.
Yeah, so his Freemasonry in third degree wasn't able to get her off that path, but we're to say, oh, that's not a problem.
Oh, but it was good enough, the contrast, to cause a Betty Ford clinic that makes a fortune to this day for all those that go to check in the Betty Ford clinic that recognize that contrast.
Does she get, did the Ford family get paid something?
They do. They own it.
They own it, okay. All right, this.
So that contrast then, because of his 33-degreeness, became a way that that foundation got to be funded in lots of people that chose alcohol or some dependency as the fastest path to their joy. And then when they choose, only when they choose to not be, not have that be the fastest path to their joy, then they decide that they want to engage in a different situation to maybe have a different reality.
In Twin Peaks, the final episode or two, one of the Dale Cooper guys running around with his doppelganger, and he's in the Black Lodge, he's gone through the portal, and he's up there running around confused. Is that showing somebody not knowing the codes back and things like that, showing the confusion of travel?
No, because, not so much. It wouldn't have been much. It's kind of like your flash forward.
Yeah.
If there isn't some mystery to the mosaic, it wouldn't make much of a show. Well, that was the meme that they were trying to always constantly solve in the Twin Peaks, that they couldn't always, but that was the goal. It would be about like saying, you remember Perry Mason, the show Perry Mason?
Yeah.
If nobody broke the law, it would be a pretty boring show.
So they weren't thinking of riff riding or Freemasonic traveling. They just had the guy go into another place and made it interesting. That made the show interesting.
And the contrast thereof, of the lostness and the
right.
the scourge of trying to figure out, wait a minute, this is different. Wait a minute, this is different. Wait a minute, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Wait a minute, where am I?
Yeah. Now, David Lynch wasn't aware of portal traveling and sticking it in there.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I got to go, so I am complete. Thank you very much.
And we are as well. What great fun.
Thank you.